Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Billy Embody. Shea Dixon will be along shortly, but I do want to shout this out. We're going to try a little bit of a new format for the pod. We want to give you guys some snippets of some news that we think you guys will enjoy and at least need to know around LSU before kind of getting into the meat of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about LSU and the top 247 that just debuted this week. We're going to talk about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati and Tua Tagovailoa and kind of how he factors in. And then we're going to look ahead to the weekend. So we're hoping that you guys enjoy this little bit of a change in the podcast format. And if you don't like it, tell us. If you want us to just get right into what we're going to talk about, tell us. If you would love to have more of kind of the snippet version of the podcast and news to know around LSU, tell us. Because we want you guys to enjoy this pod and have it be something where you guys feel like you guys are involved as well. So without any further ado, Shay, welcome back. Another pod getting ready for Mardi Gras weekend. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a bit. But I think the first thing to start with, because really LSU's loss to Kentucky is in the rearview mirror now. We'll talk about basketball a little bit later. But coming off of Wednesday night, LSU baseball had another midweek game. They drop it to the Nichols. And what are just your initial thoughts on that coming off of a game earlier this week where they beat Southern?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Maneri summed it best, and it's obvious. They're early in the season. Right now they're playing a number of different guys to kind of get a feel for what everybody brings to the table, where everybody's at pitching-wise. So I think he values – kind of the opportunity to go ahead and do that kind of stuff early, you know, when you can, and then be sure to be kind of in your groove by the time you hit conference play and hopefully before that. But yeah, obviously, I don't think it's a big deal. I've never been in the freak out about midweek loss crowds, so I don't think it's a major issue. But look, baseball number one, let's not go far around for number two here on five things. Softball, one hit La Tech this week. Beth Tarina and them are 9-1 on the year, right around that top 10 is kind of where they've been hanging. But Billy, it won't be surprising to see them move firmly into the top five at some point. Look, not a lot of people right now focused on basketball, focused on baseball, getting started. But before spring ball gets rolling, the women's softball team, if you get over there, do it. They just upgraded the park once again. Beth Tarina's club, Billy, that what a hire. She's turned out to be arguably maybe the most consistent coach on the LSU's campus.
Yeah, no doubt. Number six in America right now, lone loss over at UL earlier this season. And that weight room, LSU did a really nice look inside of it. That is just the latest upgrade on LSU's campus. I'm sure more to come as Scott Woodward continues to assert himself into LSU's athletic department. Now almost a year into his tenure, it just feels like yesterday he was hired. And one cool thing that I feel like LSU's done, moving on to our third topic, is bring out the commemorative season ticket book from the 2019 football season. It's $20. You can get it on lsusports.net. And I think, Shay, the biggest thing is something that not everyone gets to have these days, and that's a real ticket from this championship season.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the picture of it right now. It looks to be... it's an 8.5 by 11 inch replica. So it's basically what the ticket book looked like when you got your season ticket. So they're sort of all lined up next to each other in order. And then it's got the national championship ticket down there in the bottom right, which is a little bit bigger than the rest. But it's not, it's more like a graphic that shows national championship like a ticket. Like the actual ticket had this view of New Orleans on it that was gorgeous. It's a painting. For the people who had the physical tickets, they know exactly what I'm talking about. For the people that didn't, probably even more so know what I'm talking about because they've wanted to get their hands on it. I haven't heard, and point being, so many people on the LSU side got mobile tickets when they ordered it through LSU or whatever it was, bought it off StubHub. So I think people have been trying to find out where they can get like a replica of that kind of hard physical copy of it, the one you usually put in like the lanyard. I haven't heard anywhere, but if you're listening and you have, be sure to let us know and we'll pass that along. Hey, Billy, number four here. This is probably some of the bigger news of the week, at least in terms of what people seem to be talking about in a downtime. LSU spring game is set in April, but it's not going to be at Tiger Stadium. It's going to be at Southern. So your thoughts on that, and reason being is, and you can clarify for people, is that the field's being redone at LSU right now, the artificial grass. But again, clarification, not turf. That would be artificial turf, but just new grass being laid, so nowhere to play football on.
Yeah, and I think LSU went about this the right way because there's never a good time to do this. I mean, whether it's the summer and the team is, you know, needing the field to work out on or what have you, it just ended up like this, and it ended up following a national championship season when you probably were expecting a huge turnout in Tiger Stadium. But LSU went through the SEC. They weren't allowed to do it in New Orleans, Houston, or really anywhere else outside of Baton Rouge. That was kind of the big thing that I took away from it. So they land at Southern, kind of a cool deal where they're going to be able to kind of bring together Baton Rouge a little bit, get over there on the bluff, and have this game. And one big concern that a lot of people had on the board was recruiting. How will this impact recruiting? And for me, and I think, Shay, you kind of feel the same, if LSU can't have Tiger Stadium, it is what it is. But having it at Mumford isn't a big deal as far as recruiting goes. LSU already has an official visitor locked in J.C. Latham, one of the top offensive tackles in the country, and people were kind of, you know, worried about that and how it impact recruiting that weekend. But here's the deal. It's 4 hours. If they're in town for the game, they're stopping by campus maybe before the game, depending on what time the game is. That's still to be announced. They're going to get the tour of the new football ops, which is obviously really, really impressive. They're going to be able to see that. They're going to get to do Tiger Stadium and kind of check that out, and they're going to be able to say, look, we're having this brand-new drainage system put in. The field's going to be even better for you guys, and kind of show them the progress and the constant upgrades that LSU's doing for the football team. And so with recruiting, it's not going to be a big deal. They're going to put these guys in sprinter vans or they're going to be allowed to use buses, I'm sure, to bring them over to the spring game. They're going to be able to watch and then get them back to campus and meet with them, have dinner in Tiger Stadium or Mike Anderson's or Fogo de Chao or wherever they have it, Texas Day Brazil, and kind of continue on with their recruiting weekend. So for me, this isn't a big deal. I'm sure they're going to have a bunch of talent on campus still, and some of that talent could be in our fifth part of the five things, and that's some top 247 prospects. The new top 247 is out, and Shay, we've talked about this on the board, but what a loaded class in Louisiana at wide receiver, and you and I were talking about it. We could see, I think, as many as 12 prospects, and still early, end up with four-star status in the top 247, and a lot of that is wide receiver. There's a new number one overall prospect in Mason Smith, the five-star defensive tackle out of Terrebonne. Since I've been down here and following recruiting, I haven't seen a Louisiana class of receivers like this.
No, not class of receivers, at least not where we're at right now. Now, look, Jarvis and Odell were in the same class. They had some guys there. There have been others, but to have – so for perspective, I guess, or for fact, I mean – 10 guys land from Louisiana in our top 247. So our, you know, 247 top-ranked guys in the country, Louisiana's got 10 of them who are juniors in high school right now in their spring semester. That's about on par for where we normally see it. Then by the time they're seniors, we get a better look at everybody, and the rankings team maybe expands it between, like, 13 and 15. So you've already got a good chunk being into double digits of really highly ranked guys, right? Four stars. Now, we haven't seen anybody land in five-star range yet, I guess, to become a five-star on 24/7. There are some on the composite. Mason Smith is one of them. But you've got five of those 10 guys are in the top 100. Then to speak to your receiver point, six of the 10 on the list are receivers. Five of those six are ranked as top 25 receivers nationally. So you get a feel for, yes, the state has some top-end talent this year. We're still waiting to see maybe who breaks into those five-star kind of status by the end, by the time they're done with their senior seasons and camps and all that. And then you were really just looking at a spot, I guess, Billy, where LSU's going to need to figure out what their pecking order is at wide receiver, because the one thing we throw into this conversation is a kid named Deion Smith from Provine in Mississippi, plays basketball there, obviously plays football as a wide receiver. He's a highly ranked, just as highly ranked of a wide receiver as these guys, and he's already committed. And he's talked about how he does want, he's picked LSU. It was kind of a dream school. When they offered, he came and checked it out. It was a done deal. Now, long way to go there. He's a Mississippi kid, but just something to think about. If you do wind up keeping a guy like Deion Smith, that takes one more receiver less that you then need. What does your order become? And Billy, I guess we'll try to be a front row viewer here. My guess is by combining, or the combination of the spring eval period where they get to go see guys in person at spring practices, and then summer camp in June where they get to work them out in person, I wouldn't think that we will have to wait much longer beyond that to know here's the receivers in Louisiana that LSU is kind of really going after beyond, you know, Chris Hilton and Brian Thomas.
Yeah, and for me, I got to see Brian Thomas play basketball with Jalen Cook earlier this spring, and just, I think, a little bit over a week ago now. Just seeing how he changed physically and coming off that junior season, it's no wonder he ended up being the new number one wide receiver in Louisiana. Chris Hilton could still make some noise and take over that spot with a strong senior year. Keon Coleman, I think, is somebody that we're really high on. And there's others out there, too. So this Louisiana receiver class, really impressive. Top to bottom, I think, in terms of high-end talent, like we said, but long way to go in the rankings process. More guys will emerge. Savion Jones out of St. James had an outstanding junior season and has that frame, has that two-sport ability as well. So long way to go in the rankings, but I feel like Louisiana is pretty in pretty good shape. I like where the rankings turned out for Louisiana in 2021, and we'll continue to obviously update those guys as the spring, summer, fall rolls along. But Shay, we covered those five things, kind of gave everybody a little snippet about where things stand. Now, time for a quick break. On the other side of this break, we'll talk about Joe Burrow, the NFL draft buzz around him at number one, along with Tua Tagovailoa, who's picking up steam, and then talk a little bit more about the weekend to come, including Mardi Gras. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll catch you guys on the other side of it on the Go 24/7 podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Shay, this has kind of started to dominate the news cycle in the NFL draft. And actually, before you and I jumped on, I was watching First Take kind of debate what Joe Burrow had said, which is that he has leverage in this situation as the number one guy. You know, when you're an NFL team and you have that pick, and especially when you have it and you need to probably take a quarterback like Cincinnati wants to, you've got to know that this is going to be your guy, at least if things work out, for a decade plus. And Joe Burrow hasn't come out and said, you know, Cincinnati's where I want to be, even though obviously he's an Ohio kid. I don't think he'd have any problem with going there, but it sounds like Cincinnati is at least giving serious thought to taking Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's so much to unpack here. So let's, I guess, kind of start with this feeling. Do we think, or I should say that people are pointing out a couple of things here. A, yes, he's got the leverage. Well, what does the leverage mean? Well, everyone's going to immediately go back to the Eli Manning. You know, I'm not going to play on the West Coast. I'm going to play for someone else. I'll hold out. Ends up being drafted by the Giants. And they sort of, Archie kind of took control of that. Well, Eli, rep by Tom Condon. Tom Condon works for CAA. CAA is obviously who Burrow signed with. So not that there's a link to a bunch of, you know, instances where there's precedence here, but people have circled that and said, well, here's something we can talk about. And then they say, well, does Burrow really want to go to a losing team like that? There's other teams out there that would trade up, or maybe are already within striking range to be able to take him. How could he finagle his way into a different situation? And obviously one of the biggest talking points would be, well, Joe Burrow is already kind of done, and I guess I would say it is becoming a more common route, but a not so common choice of leaving, taking control of his destiny before saying, I'm not staying at Ohio State and letting my final 2 years of eligibility run out without me putting myself in a better situation. And he did that, went to LSU, paid off for him, won a national championship, won a Heisman, and is now in position here for the number one pick. So I get all that, right? And I hear it. I'll riff here. We can start it here. Do you believe that Joe Burrow and his camp, through the advice of their agents or together or whatever it might be, would want to try to get out of going to Cincinnati? Or my opinion is nothing's going to happen. I don't think that they're seriously thinking about any sort of wild, you know, NFL draft, late game, 11th hour move. It blows my mind thinking that this is anything more than just people out there needing something to talk about with the number one pick.
Yeah, and Joe hasn't been shy about doing interviews. He was on Dan Patrick's show around the Super Bowl. He did the one with the Fort Star Telegram where he, you know, straight up said, I have the leverage in this scenario. But, yeah, I don't think this ends up being a big, big thing. I think Cincinnati ends up taking him. I think he ends up being the number one pick. But, you know, I'll say this, Shay. I would love to see him in a Washington Redskins uniform and have him have a second chance to beat out Dwayne Haskins for the starting job. But I don't think that'll happen either. So I think he ends up going to Cincinnati, and it's kind of one of those, you know, hometown type of, I know it's not his hometown, but hometown type of deal. His girlfriend lives in Cincinnati as well. And I think that's something that's worth discussing there. And so she wouldn't have to move, and he'd get to head up there and start his NFL career.
Yeah, I think, and look, here's the thing I'm thinking is the more interesting debate, or at least the feel for what could happen long term. Do I think Burrow's getting picked number one by Cincinnati? Yes, I do. And until I see anything more than random speculation and Joe being somewhat coy in interviews, which he always is, then I don't have anything to, I don't need to even weigh in on it much more than that, just to say I don't think anything's happening. But here's the debate I don't mind. Who long-term, and we have to consider all things, I'll let you give your take and I'll give mine. Would you rather take, would it be Tua or would it be Burrow?
It's not close. And I don't say that because I cover LSU, and I'm sure, you know, some Bama fan will get in my mentions, you know, listening to our podcast after. But here's the deal. When you're investing a number one overall pick, and this is why I'm kind of surprised Tua's getting this buzz around the number one overall pick. But I don't care where his ankle, where his hip is at. The fact is that he's had two major surgeries. I'll call them major surgeries on those ankles, that tightrope procedure. And then the hip injury at Mississippi State, that's a concern for me. He's kind of in a situation where, are you going to be able to rely on him to be healthy and to carry an NFL franchise, which is what the number one pick is supposed to do and what a first round pick is supposed to do. So I'm in the camp of, you take Burrow. He seems like the safest pick as far as the quarterbacks go in the draft right now. And I don't think twice about it. And I think that's what ends up happening with Cincinnati.
So I guess here's a better question, I guess, at least for maybe what I'm wanting to debate here. And again, you know everything, but you're the 31-2 pick where, let's, you know, we saw Lamar Jackson go in this range. If you're the 32 pick in this draft, and don't imagine what team that is or fit, so you're paying significantly less money, would you take Burrow or Tua?
With the 32nd pick?
Well, yeah, let's just say in a world where they're both there. Like, I guess my point is, yes, if you're investing all of this number one pick money in a guy, investing it in Burrow is probably a lot wiser than the guy coming off multiple surgeries. But if you're not having to pay as much, like if you just got to have one of them on your team for not that wild contract, which one would you take?
I'd probably still take Burrow. I think his completion percentage, and obviously Tua had an outstanding college career and did it for multiple years. I think that stands out to me. But when you get into the draft interviews, I think Burrow's going to stand out just a little bit more. Son of a coach. Understands, I think, the NFL systems of how things work and how you need to be prepared. And not that Tua wouldn't be. And maybe I am coming off a little bit of a, you know, Burrow high from covering him for the last 2 years. But I just think what he's able to do in the pocket, moving around, making those tough throws that seem to be kind of coming more and more into play in the NFL, I would take Burrow. And I think Tua probably has a little bit of a stronger arm than Burrow. His zip in the intermediate passing game seems to stand out when the pocket's clean to me. But look, Burrow, what he was able to do, and LSU had a ton of talent around him. So did Bama. I just think what he was able to do this past season stands out to me the most. And maybe you're on a different wavelength than me, but I'm still rolling with Burrow.
Well, I've no doubt I'm on the same wavelength for number one pick. I mean, I would, coming off of what we saw this year, does he have the body of work that Tua does? No. Is he the pure-armed quarterback that Tua is? No. But he had the best season that we've ever seen from a quarterback in the history of college football, single season, and he's completely healthy. So, and then you toss in, then I think I don't think either of them would interview poorly enough to where a team wouldn't want him. I think guys gravitate towards him. That's always been the case. When you look at both of them all the way back to high school through college, you can tell they're just natural leaders. So, excuse me. So I don't think that either of them stock would be hurt in that way. I would pick Burrow knowing he's completely healthy and that he's coming off the season he did. Now, I think that, and I know my hypothetical is ridiculous, 32 pick and those two being available, but I think long-term, both these guys are going to be pretty good. And then there's this new wave of young quarterbacks. Obviously, Mahomes wins a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson is one of the biggest names out there. We're seeing a good crop now of this kind of Kyler Murray even is in this group of guys moving into full-time starters who are going to be that next elite wave. I'm with Tua and Burrow here. I think both of them, I'm extremely more confident that those two will make it with some sort of longevity beyond what Justin Herbert and a handful of other guys, Fromm and these other guys that are in this draft as quarterbacks, what they ultimately can do in the NFL. So I understand the debate, and I know that Tua has been injured, and that kind of really tears down kind of the momentum he had as what most thought would be number one pick. But boy, it'll be fun to watch because I've got a sneaking suspicion that Tua, if he's healthy, like all these people are saying, Adam Schefter and these guys are tweeting that medical stuff looks better than it does, that he'll go higher, Billy, than most anticipated. But, you know, whether that's top five, I think that's the range we could probably start to talk about.
Yeah, and Miami, they've got that Tua fever. I think, you know, being in a tropical setting for
They were tanked for Tua, right? And then the Bengals took over.
Yeah, I know. The Dolphins did about as poorly of a job as tanking as humanly possible this season, especially late in the year. That Redskins Dolphins game was kind of one of the tank games early on in the season, and that 2-point conversion they rolled out there to try quote unquote get that win was almost borderline obviously tanking, but. Yeah, the Dolphins, I think, could easily end up picking Tua, and I'm with you. I think he jumps over some of those other quarterbacks that you mentioned as well. But, Shay, moving on now, I think health concerns kind of can also be included in this topic, and that's by the end of this weekend, Mardi Gras up. How are we looking health-wise following a big weekend in New Orleans?
Man, I'm looking strong, looking healthy. Feeling hydrated, need to be good about these final 24 hours before leaving on Friday. But I'll be down Friday. Here's my itinerary right here. Down Friday, always end up going to some of the parades in the quarter during the day, and then wind up at Pato's in that 3 to 4 range. I'll be in the piano bar. I've seen a lot of our listeners, a lot of people on the site during my annual Friday of Mardi Gras Pato's trip. So. We'll hold it down there probably as long as we last. Saturday, get up, do some parade stuff. I'm going to watch Endymion this year, and I'm sure I'll see a lot of y'all out on the route, but going for the watch instead of going to the ball. I've never ridden Endymion. I've actually never ridden in any of these New Orleans parades, but done Endymion ball a bunch. And I'll go ahead and spoil my Sunday plans as well. Going to go to the Bacchus Ball. So not riding, but going to go to the ball with my wife and a bunch of our family and friends. But I've decided now, I've done both balls, I'm way more of a Bacchus person. I feel like in Endymion, when it's been in the Superdome, obviously, that it's too big. You can't really move around very easily to go see all different tables, wherever people might be. I found Bacchus to be easy to get around. Obviously, it's a lot smaller, but still big enough to be a huge event. So doing all that, Monday, that's when I tap out. I decide my tap out. Beforehand, it's not something I push or figure out while I'm down there. Always end up going on Monday, so need it. I need to stay healthy through the weekend. 3-game series here: Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Be back Monday, and certainly in the ice bath, probably just rehabbing.
Well, take care of yourself. I remember back in college, my first Mardi Gras ball was Hermes. What a time! What a time. Family was actually in town for it to kind of see me off before that night. And like you, ended up after that in Pat O'Brien's. I actually ended up at Pat O'Brien's after the national championship game. That was kind of by the time we were done working, it was about 2 a.m. by the time I got out onto Bourbon Street, ended up with a little cigar walking down. And it was actually a little bit more tame than I thought it'd be that late after the national championship game, and ended up in Pat O'Brien's. And it was quite the scene. They played the LSU fight song. They played We Are the Champions. The pianos were going. Colin Baton Rouge, obviously. Pat O'Brien's one of my favorites, so you can't go wrong there. I'm actually going to take it pretty chill on Friday night and going to head to my first Spanish Town parade on Saturday. So if you're in Baton Rouge, see me out there. Say what's up. But doing Spanish Town for the first time, usually I'm in New Orleans or out on the road and, you know, doing 7-on-7 or some sort of you know, football stuff as the spring kind of got going. So I'm looking forward to Spanish Town. I know there's some of the other media friends of ours that are going to be in town for it, and looking forward to Spanish Town, and then kind of maybe seeing where Sunday takes us. Maybe a trip over to New Orleans and getting a little Mardi Gras buzz on. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to a long, long Saturday. I'm a big day drinking guy. It's supposed to be pretty beautiful weather. And, you know, looking forward to running through Spanish Town once.
Yeah, I've been to the Spanish parade, town parade once, I think, but I've not been, and I assume you haven't, to their ball, which is supposed to be like even more wild, obviously, with absolutely no kids there and an adult late night event. But yeah, Spanish Town, for those that haven't gone or at least, you know, don't even know about it, do some Googling. I'm sure you can find some Google images or whatnot. It is, of all of the Mardi Gras parades, Billy, I presume you've been fair warned that it's more one of the more risky ones, not from a danger standpoint.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm well aware, ready for that. I do have a follow-up.
Risque is what I should say.
Yeah, risque. What are your, what's your Mardi Gras attire going to look like? I know you got some different fashion takes than maybe I do.
Well, the one go-to, this is free advice for anyone who's out there and just needs some Mardi Gras tips. I'm not charging for this. Fanny packs are the way to go on a weekend like Mardi Gras. You don't have to worry about where your wallet is. You don't have to worry about where your phone is. If you're carrying anything extra or need to put whatever into your fanny pack, you can. So I like it when I'm running around the quarter, I'm out at parades. I swear by it. I don't care at all about my age or whether or not it's cool to wear a fanny pack. It's the way to go. You can get, look, T-Bob wears one. It's all black. You can get one that's multicolored. Really, whatever your vibe is, you can make it happen color scheme-wise with a fanny pack. So that's a go-to. Beyond that, it doesn't appear to be raining this weekend. Won't need a rain jacket. I don't have, like, any, like, wild Mardi Gras outfits. I don't know if that comes, like, as a super surprise, but maybe, oh man, I think I've got a couple of like those Perla style Mardi Gras shirts and sweaters. So I can bust one of those out. It's going to be a cool weekend in South Louisiana after this rain gets out of here. So I'll put that together. Look, just a fanny pack and shoes you don't mind having to throw away probably at the end of the weekend is really my only suggestions for males or females going to Mardi Gras.
Very smart on the shoes, especially. And if you're walking down Bourbon, I mean, those things are toast by the end of the weekend, without a doubt. Shay, I am going to move us along to a little bit of final business, unfortunately, before the weekend gets going. Could be fortunate, could be unfortunate. But let's start with LSU basketball. Lost 4 of 5. Obviously was right in it to the end against Kentucky. Made a late push. Couldn't get it done. And they've got to get a win at South Carolina on Saturday. I'll probably be wrapping up my day and get on the couch and watch that and talk with the folks on the board a little bit with that one as it gets underway at 5 o'clock in Columbia. LSU 18-8 overall, South Carolina 16-10. If they drop this one, they'll kind of fall into that middle of the pack of the SEC. And just from talking with the guys after the Kentucky game, and we'll hear from Will Wade on Friday afternoon, but this is probably about as must win as it gets to kind of get them back on the right track heading into the back half of this SEC play, because they have some winnable games down the stretch. They'll play, I believe, Auburn again, and that'll be kind of one of the biggest game in Baton Rouge for LSU fans to check out later on. But it has to start with a win at South Carolina on Saturday.
Yeah, you got to get back on track. I thought if you're an LSU fan, the biggest thing that sucked from the Kentucky loss beyond losing was that was kind of your last chance to really make a big one. You say Auburn, but had they won that Kentucky game seeding wise, that would have helped them out a ton. But they need to find a way back on track. As you said, those records for LSU and USC after these past 2 weeks ain't too far off. You lose this one and you're sitting about the same as a team like South Carolina. That was not the storyline just a couple of weeks back. So got to get back going there on a road trip to Columbia. But I'll add this, too, before you continue on. When you're listening to this pod, it's probably during or after the LSU-South Carolina women's game ended, which was Thursday evening. But looking to get a win, number one team in the country. And just kind of a side note, shout out to them this year, the Lady Tigers. I know they've had some unfortunate injuries, one season ending. But to be 18-6, 8-4, a couple of weeks left, for them to close strong before the SEC tournament. It's one of the better seasons they've had. And if you got time and you want to go to a final home game, haven't seen them yet, get out to the PMAC because they're having a pretty darn good season.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll say one final thing on the South Carolina game and kind of how the SEC is going. LSU is still can push for a top three, maybe even top two seed in the SEC tournament with a strong finish, because Auburn just lost to Georgia. I mean, that's a bad Georgia team, even with Anthony Edwards, but they trailed by double digits most of that game and ended up losing. So SEC still kind of there. I don't think they can win an SEC title, regular season title again, but that just goes to show kind of the season that, of college basketball that we've been seeing so far. LSU baseball is going to host Eastern Kentucky. We're going to see Paul Maneri kind of change things up a little bit in the lineup, try and get a little bit more balance between bat handling and defense and all of that in the lineup. Hal Hughes is going to be at short. Alex Milazzo going to catch two games this weekend against Eastern Kentucky. So check that out at the box. I might even go out there Friday night and see what the baseball team is all about. Softball hosting the Purple and Gold Challenge. They'll have games against Belmont and Sam Houston. And then LSU Gymnastics, always a big draw, but they're at Missouri Friday night. They're coming off a win against Kentucky, and first place finishes in Oregon at the gym quarters finals. Shay, we're big track people these days, following the top 247. A lot of those guys have impressive track resumes as well, and the men's and women track program is rolling right now.
Yeah, they're pretty highly ranked, about as high as you can get. Indoor season's gone well for them. They're back in action this weekend with LSU Twilight. If anybody's ever been over there, it's actually a fun time to watch them. Indoors is really fun to watch because you're kind of right there on top of everything. But, yeah, nice start. Women, number one in the country. Men, number two. Those are in kind of the go-to national track and field rankings that everybody uses. And impressive. You've got Mondo out there breaking his own world records in pole vaulting. And then you've got all the guys back here on the team showing out. So, what, big weekend there. Big weekend for a bunch of sports. I know some of them are out of town, but obviously if you want to check out some baseball, whether it's of the men's or softball variety, you can do it this weekend.
No question. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this new format of the podcast. Quick reminder to review, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends if you like what you heard. Tell us what we can do better, whether it's on the board, in our Twitter mentions, or just on a review on iTunes or wherever you catch the podcast. And also, big thanks to everybody that subscribed during our promo this week around the rankings. We're back to our dollar for the first month deal that you guys can take advantage to subscribe to Go 24/7. So that'll get you covered really for that first month of really spring ball. You can get the first month of spring ball for just $1. First couple weeks of spring ball, they start on March 7th, and we'll have a ton of recruiting updates over the next couple weeks, kind of teeing up when the dead period ends. So check out Go 24/7, subscribe for just $1 for that first month. Shay, be safe out there at Mardi Gras. And to everyone out there, be safe with your Mardi Gras partying. It's going to be a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice weather. No rain in South Louisiana. It might rain wherever you guys are listening, but not here. I saw a low of 40, high of 60. So I got no complaints. So I hope everybody enjoys some downtime this weekend with whatever you're getting into.
Well said, well said. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and appreciate you guys listening as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.